time has come in the service for the scripture reading. And if you take your pew Bibles and you turn to page 948, you will find it, more specifically the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
Thank you, John. So many different thoughts were coming to my mind as I was approaching this message this week. We live in a time where this question, what I'm about to ask you, is asked often. Do you want to be on the right side of history? Do you want to live on the right side of history? The question is asked because sometimes it's put before different generations, or as you look back on history and you think, and we think, how do I view what I'm doing now in the light of the future? When people look back on me and our time, what will they think of us? How will they view us? There is a philosophy, there is a worldview, there is a thought pushed today with a word. It's a four-letter word, and the word is woke. Merriam-Webster defines woke as aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, and then in parentheses, especially issues of race and social justice. And what has happened as time progresses, race is looked at and said, oh, I'm going to jump on that one. Different groups will jump on race as a way of saying, are you woke? And what it means is, are you awake to the fact that we've been doing things wrong for a while and now we're starting to do them right? We have woken up. We are now awake. And they would look back at previous generations and say, I can't believe that they would do this. I can't believe that our country allowed slavery. I can't believe it. But if we were to take a time machine and go back, at that time, many of those thought they were right. They thought that, well, this is how life is. This is just what you do. And their frame of reference, they even, some of them used the Bible as a allowance to what they were doing. And you know that the Bible can be used in different ways to communicate different things if we take things out of context. And that's why we here at Grace, when we interpret the Bible, we want to do this. We interpret it historically, grammatically, literally, and what it's makes sense. If it makes sense, then we would go, okay, that makes sense with that. But there will come a day, if the Lord tarries, if he doesn't come, and the framework that is talked about in the Bible concerning future events, there will come a day if 200 years goes by or 500 years go by. And I know that many of us, as we sit here, we go, I don't know how that could be. But there's people that were sitting in churches years ago, 500 years ago, that thought the Lord was coming then. And it was rightly so. He could come at any time. That's what the word imminency means when it comes to the Lord's coming. But let's say a bunch of time goes by and other civilizations come into being, other nations come into being, and they look back at us, how will they view us? We thought, our time thought, that we lined up, we were on the right side of history. I'm not saying we, but us as a culture. And there will be people that will learn in school, if the truth is put out there, they will learn in school. You mean it was legal to do this procedure where a baby could get killed? And there were people that thought that was noble, people thought that was right, that they could be killed inside of the womb. There were people like that? Well, didn't they think that they'd want to be on the right side of history? That they would go, no, we would never do that. And you know what else they believed? They believed, I know it's going to be hard to believe, but there's a guy that's a dude, they would call him a girl, and vice versa, because of how he felt. Seriously? There were people like that? And I could go on, that as we look and we try our hardest through the prism of Scripture to have an understanding, and you could say, well, the reason we did this is because of women's rights, or we did the reason we did this, we got to understand people's feelings. And I'm going, well, no. We want to be on the right side of history. So let me give you a heads up on how I could be on the right side of history. And you could be on the right side of history. We go with this. Amen? And what will happen? Because there was a vast majority of people back in the day that actually thought that it was okay to own another human being. By the way, that was going on all over the world. There are people that thought that. And you and I were like, how could they do that? There will be people, if time keeps going, that will look back and go, they believed that? And so I have to go with, what does the Bible say about these things? And so as life goes on, and by the way, I just picked a couple. We could keep going. And some of you are like, amen, let's keep going. But maybe there's something that you believe that doesn't line up with Scripture. And I'd hit yours. You're like, well, okay, now you're meddling. All right. Now you've crossed a line. That's the beauty of the Word of God. It hits us all between the eyes. And it makes us all come to the, boy, I need a Savior. And so that's what I would like to wake you up to today. Because, by the way, every person defines wrong in their way. Like, there's some people like, you guys talk so much about sin. Well, you got things you list as sin. They wouldn't necessarily use the word sin. But they believe those things are wrong. They believe them just as much as what we would say is wrong. And I want my wrong list to be something I would look in the Word of God and go, oh, that's wrong. Oh, I'm doing that. Oh, Father, help me. Forgive me of that. Help me to line myself up with you so that it doesn't matter if I'm lining up with history, because people can be wrong. I want to line up with his story. You see, as life goes on, we will meet with something that we thought at the time was not that big of a deal. At the time, we didn't think it was that big of a deal, but later there were huge ramifications, there were huge consequences. For example, those of you that are doing school still, you do your studies in high school, and you might go, oh, that's not that big of a deal. I don't have to really invest in it. That's not that important. I'm just loving the social aspect of this with my friends and think, no big deal. Until you apply at that one university and you don't get in. At the time, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. Oh, but there were ramifications later. Maybe you're here today and you would post whatever you want on social media. Some of you are like, we don't even do it. Okay, play with me for a second. Imagine. Post whatever you'd want on social media, and to you, it's no big deal. Until you apply for a job and you don't get it because you got this employer that actually checks on your social media. and you did the poochy lips in one of the pictures, and you're like, I don't like the poochy lip person. I'm not hiring. By the way, stop it. It looks really dumb. Makes me look thinner. Oh, it doesn't work for me. So. Or maybe date anyone and do anything. It's no big deal until the ramifications of that behavior affect your marriage. These are not as huge of a deal. Those are big deal things. When they hit us, like, I can't believe it. And you could go on with different things that you did at the time. Didn't seem like that big of a deal. But later you go, I shouldn't have done that. And you may have even had warnings. But it just happened. What we're talking about today in these four verses, this is huge. This has got massive ramifications. I was thinking about today and what today represents, and it brought me back to a Tuesday morning in 2001 when firemen were called to some towers. And take a look at this video.
We pulled up right in front of the motel, and there was a lot of broken glass. I got out of the car, I put it on here, and I walked into the lobby. And as I walked in, I saw two people to my right, barely burned. My instinct was to help them. But I knew that wasn't my job. My job was to take the man. And I knew we had firefighters who come in to take care of
him. As we walked in, we found out that all the jet fuel went down the elevator steps and blew out the whole lot. So anybody standing in the path of that glass was dead. You know, maybe 20, 30 people I've just seen, you know, basically burnt to death on the floor. It was pretty horrific.
It's the time to get out.
Let's pray. Father, on this day, we stop and we soberly remember the ramifications of a worldview and how it hit our country years ago. And we're asking for continued healing and an awareness, God, of our need for you. An awareness to think on not just earthly matters, but eternal matters. And so this kind of thing stops us in our tracks, and it makes us realize our need for a Savior and a Lord. So we look to you this morning as we open your word, as we look into your word. Father, you would be the teacher. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you have your Bible open to Romans chapter 13. Point number one, as we're working through this together, is we are to watch vigilantly. We are to watch vigilantly. Look again with me at verse 11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Besides this, we start with besides this. Some translations say, and this. And the what is the this? The this is Romans 12:1 to Romans 13:10. It's, remember we talked about it last week, but it's talking about the fact that here's what I want. I want your body. I want you. Person that has called on my name to save me, save themselves, that they would call on you. And then I want you, I want all of you. And then I don't want you to be conformed to this world. And then I want you to act a certain way toward one another. And then, oh, by the way, I want you to be subject to the governing authorities. I want you to understand that you have a responsibility to those that are around. And you have authorities put in your life, leadership put in your life. The policeman and the president, the fireman and the teacher. And so he's shortly conducted recently, just then, he talked about love. If you remember that last week, we just did three verses, and he was talking about the fact that I need to love my neighbor. And so that's the this. That's the thing that he wants us to look back on. Well, now he's transitioning from this love to a motivation for loving how I live my life. What's going to impact people the most? And it's as they look at our lives, we're different. We can have fun. We love life, but they see a difference in us. Not living in judgment toward people, but that I would say it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's why when I was doing that earlier and I was talking about what we will be viewed at in history, or look when people in the future look back at us in their history, they'll see, oh, the people believe those certain things, but what was the church like? What was your life like, and what's my life like? So that I can't look around and go, just voted this way. If you just thought the way I did, no. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That I would stop and literally wake up. Look at it. You talk about being woke. What a perfect verse for this. He wants us to wake up because we've been sleeping. And I thought about doing this today, but I didn't want any of you to have a heart attack. I was going to put alarm clocks all over the place, and they would just go off. And I thought that would probably be distracting. Some of you, what's going on in this church? It's the first time here. But I want to wake you up. Wake up. That's what he's saying. What are you investing your life in? What is your thing? Is it Christ? Is it eternal? 100 years from now, what all those chips that you put in, does it matter? I want it to matter. And I get deceived just as much as anybody else that this is important. It's not that important. Me walking with God. And so he's saying, wake up. And the motivation is, first of all, eschatological, which is future events. He says, know the time, and it's not just chronology, that the word chronos in the Greek, chronological, just this time. He's saying this is kairos time in the Greek. It's a season. Know the times that you're living in. Be aware of them. We should know what's going on around us. Not so that we can keep ripping on it, but that we go, so how can I minister where he's placed me? And then he says this line here that I know when we hear it, we're like, really? For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed? What's he talking about there? I thought I got saved already. Salvation. Well, salvation has three aspects to it. Past, present, and future. Past is our justification. We talked about that earlier. Present is our sanctification, what he's doing in our lives now, making us holy. And future is glorification. When he's talking here, he's talking about the future of salvation. Our glorification, those future days, are nearer than they were when we first believed. And that's kind of obvious, isn't it? Like, right now is farther along than 5 minutes ago. And then right now is farther along than the right now I just said. And we can keep going. So it makes sense, but what it should make us do is go, time just keeps moving. And what am I doing with that time? It's getting closer. And we look at those pictures, we watch that video, and if we could go back, we know the story. But they were living life. They got up that morning, they went in the World Trade Center, and there's different people with different worldviews and different things that they thought were important. And then reality hit. The alarm clock went off. And then the ramifications of that, where sirens are now blaring and firehouses' bells ring, because now something has happened and many of them went into eternity. And the story that get the things that hit me the hardest as I'm watching this, and every now and then I'll just look back at what happened in 9/11, that there were people, it was so hot. It was so hot in those buildings that they would jump. And it would just hit me. Wow. And they it's just a Tuesday morning. They're just getting up. And it makes you stop and think and go, I could go into eternity anytime. And if you're sitting here and you're going, are you trying to scare me into a decision? Yes! I want you to wake up. What you are investing in, what you think is important. And it is important. And we'll keep having marriages, and we'll keep having celebrations, and we'll keep doing life. And I think there's a beauty to that.
Well, you know, it could happen any moment. Wowsy, wowsy, woo-woo.
There's joy in your life. But with a realization, but I'm not promised anything except future with him if I know him. And so he's saying to us, this is the this. I want your bodies. I want your life. I want your heart. I want all of you. And I don't want you to be conformed to this world anymore. I don't want you to waste time anymore. Sin is a waste of time. You ever stop and think about how much time we waste sinning? And how much time we waste planning to sin? He doesn't want us to do that. Point number two. We are to war valiantly. War valiantly. Look at verse 12. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. He now underscores this need for alertness. Eschatology will drive our ethics. The doctrines of future things, if you really believe that Jesus is coming back, that would have a bearing on how you live. Doctrine, theology, drives what you do. And I could go around with different people. They have a certain kind of theology. It may not be tied to the Bible, but they believe certain things, and it makes them do certain things. And I don't want to get you distracted by them, but everybody does it. Everybody does it with what's your stuff. And I'm saying to you, I would like you to come back to the Word of God with me and realize he's coming back. He's coming back. And that would have bearing on what I'm doing, what I'm going to do. Believers do and should repudiate the current passing night by rejecting works of darkness. They do this by wearing the proper attire and armaments. I asked Scott if I could use his fireman gear for a picture here. As these guys would head into a fire, you ever stop and think about it? I've got a dear friend, his son is actually here today, a dear friend of Chicago's, Chicago fireman, Gary, his son Nick's here, and Nick's a fireman in the Nashville area. We have Scott here, and if I'm missing any firemen, God bless you, all right? As I hear these stories, times when Gary would be running into a burning building in Chicago, and he goes, he'd realize, this is kind of crazy. He goes, because everything is running out of that building. Roaches would run past him. Rats would run past him. And he, a thinking human being, is running into it. And I'm saying to you, each and every one of you today, we need to put on these arms because we have a world that wants to burn us. And we need to be geared up. We need to be, and I even love how it's set up here when it was handed to me. It's set up in such a way that it's ready. You jump into the boots and pull it on, you're ready to go. And some of you, each of us, we just go into the day sometimes, and it's like, it's just another day. And God is saying in just Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Because how am I gonna defeat the enemy? It's the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we wonder why we live defeated lives. What are we putting on us? I would think, spiritually speaking, wouldn't it be funny to see what some of us are wearing? Toilet paper? Oh, that'll stop it. I need the power of God around me. He's saying, wake up! What are you and I investing in? That may mean this week you start just to read something in the Bible. You aren't doing it at all. And I'm encouraging you to spend some time with him. Start the day out. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. But guess what? Everybody's busy. Well, not as busy as me. And we need to take his word seriously. 1 Corinthians 10, 9 through 13. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened, so these things that happened in the Old Testament happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is the calling of God on our lives. And then Hebrews 6, 4 and 5. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tested the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God, the powers of the age to come. God is saying he wants us to rest in him and trust him and look to his word and take it seriously. Point number three, we are to walk virtuously. And this is a list here. God sometimes put into the Bible because he knows we need lists. I know when I'm going to the grocery store, I need to make a list. I need to, so I can remember. And so he does a lot of narrative in the word. He does a lot of, we could go down poetry and history and stuff, but in it sometimes he puts a list because he goes, I got to give him a list. To walk properly means to carry out everyday life in a manner that is fitting. So he's saying, if you've given me your body, and that's what I want your body, and I want you not to be conformed to this world. He starts listing things here. He says, let us walk properly as in the daytime. You guys know what it's like to walk at night. You've stepped on a Lego, all right? It hurts. So he's saying, I want you to walk as you do in the daytime. Not in orgies. This is the connection to excessive partying, living just to party. I love celebrations, but I can't live for that. And drunkenness. Under complete control of alcohol. Not in sexual immorality, and that is a sexual lifestyle that is outside the bonds of a marriage between a man and a woman. Anything out of that parentheses is sin. You won't hear that some places because they don't want to make people unhappy. That even includes our thought life. Wow, God, he's trying to protect us. It's the goal of God. And so I'm saying to you today, fight. Fight that good fight. and sensuality, that's that outlook that includes the former, and then quarreling, not in quarreling and jealousy, tied together because they come in that pair. He's saying, I don't want that to be part of your life. And so I want you to look at that list and go, am I doing that? Because you can look at the woke culture. You can look at this person and that person and go, they are sinning, really? God, why aren't you doing something about it? And God's looking at you, aren't you glad I didn't do something about you? It's like, thank you, Lord. Help me, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a fake Christian. I want to be real. I want to truly love people. And so he keeps pointing to the future events. And then he knows there are people that would be like, oh, you and your talk about future events. You and your talk. 2 Peter answers this. 2 Peter 3:1. This is now the second letter that he's writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. So it's wake up. I'm waking you up. I'm stirring up your mind that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. you actually believe this Bible stuff? This is so stupid. Following their own sinful desires. People want to keep living. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. It's a joke, for they deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of the water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Wake up! Realize he ain't messing around. He ain't playing. This is serious stuff. And we've got time. We've got time to share the truth. And we've got time to stop these habits. And we've got time because he's so loving and so gracious. And point number 4, we are to wait victoriously. Look at verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Don't give it oxygen. The sinful things that we feed so that there's no backdraft and things explode. Because I gave it oxygen. I made provision for the flesh. I planned my sin out. I don't want you to do that because I love you. He's saying put on, this is a metaphor drawing on that the dressing room or the locker room. Whatever it takes to play the game, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision means to devote no forethought or planning to, not to daydream about these things. The flesh is our proclivity to drift away from God that has these things that wants to protect us from them. Why? Why is that the case? Well, look at James 5, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another. Boy, that's a big deal with God, grumbling against each other. Brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You see that picture there? It's like he's got the hand on the doorknob. He's ready to come in. Wouldn't that change how we live? Think about it. Your parents are away. You've been doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. And magically, they can pull up in the driveway and you didn't hear them. And then you hear a door. And then you hear another door and the doorknob. Whoa! Things start to change then. Why should we live like that? Why don't we live like he's around all the time? That would have bearing on what I do. This week, have opportunity. We've got a music playing, and there's times for different moods. You got the Huey Lewis and the News mood, and you got the Michael Bublé mood, and you got the George Beverly Shea mood. I had to say that for some of you. Sometimes we have country music on. And this week I heard a song that hit me right between the eyes. It's not new. but the lyrics got me. And it made me think about grace. It made me think about how he's given us time to call on him. Take a listen to this song, Three Wooden Crosses.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One said for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw a stop sign. And 18-wheelers can't stop on the line. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Higher than the fourth wind, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you say when you leave this world behind you. Behind you we go. That farmer after harvest, a home in 80 acres, the faith and love of growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children. He did her best to give them all a better start. That preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he lay his bloodstained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why they're not for them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind. Behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday. And he held that bloodstained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher. He gave this Bible to my mom to read to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
Song ripped my heart out. Some of you are going, the hooker was his mom. Her life changed because of a Bible, because of what God can do in a life. It's the grace of God. We have time. He's saying, wake up. What are you and I investing in? Would you bow your head with me for just a moment here? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know, you've never heard the gospel. The gospel is this: you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. So I'm in a bad way. I'm on my way to a fire that will never be quenched. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means I'm confessing, I'm giving him my life, you're my boss, Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he'll make the difference and he'll start changing you from the inside out. Would you take that step today? Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for what you've done. We're asking, God, for changed lives, that we would wake up and invest in what truly matters. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.